Eye on Careers.
In association with LeMoon.com. Jobs, courses, and all things career.
Welcome to Eye on Careers. I'm your host, Shane Phillips. And this show's dedicated to anyone out there who has a dream, to anyone out there who feels they just haven't reached their apex yet. Maybe just getting that next promotion, getting that next raise. Maybe it's starting your own business. Whatever that dream is, for those who never give up, for those who hold on, for those who believe their dreams come true. Someone once said, the graveyard is the wealthiest place in the world because in it are the lost ambitions and dreams of so many people, so many inventions, so many empires lost. If you, when you lay down to rest, will your dreams die with you or will they be realized? This show's for all those people who have the courage to go on and chase that dream. Sometimes it's just taking that next step. And that's what we look at here on Eye on Careers. We look at the region's biggest success stories. We look at those individuals who've gone on and chased their dreams. For some, it's becoming a multi-billionaire. For others, it's just making that impact in their organization, making that difference in their department, making that difference on their team and being part of that organization. Success defined on your own terms. Tonight, we have some very interesting individuals. One individual, he works with a bunch of animals. I mean, his office is a real zoo. In fact, it's the Al Ain Zoo. It's Hossam Hamad, the head of talent management at the Al Ain Zoo. He's going to be giving us an insight into wildlife management and what it is like to work with a bunch of turkeys now. to work at the Al Ain Zoo. It is a growing area and an area of growing interest across the UAE and the GCC as we look at wildlife management and environmental studies. And of course, it's intimate tie to tourism and travel across the region. Our second guest is a multimillionaire, Kabir Ali, Group Managing Director for Qualitrend Group. He is a man who chased his dream of starting his own business and has branched out, diversified across many businesses. He's failed many, many times, and he's here not to talk about his success, but his failures. So it will be a really interesting window into the world of an entrepreneur and how you deal with failure. How do you get back up when life knocks you down, when you scrape your knees? So if you're going through a tough time, if you've maybe been hit below the belt, if you find yourself struggling to find that light in the darkness, Kabir's story, maybe just the inspiration you're looking for. So our first guest tonight, as I said, works with a bunch of animals, Hossam Hamad. Let's hear a little bit about his background.
This is Eye on Careers, Executive CV.
Hossam Hamad is the head of talent management at the Zoo and Aquarium Public Institution of Al Ain, one of Abu Dhabi's government entities. Hossam's vast experience includes working in the United States, Egypt and the UAE. Currently focused on the development of the UAE's national tourism and wildlife management sectors across leadership, management and junior staff levels. Hossam has a bachelor's degree in chemical engineering from New Jersey Institute of Technology and an MBA from St. Peter's College, New Jersey in the US. He started out as a chemical engineer working for the pharmaceutical industry. From the pharmaceutical industry, he moved into international development, working for subcontractors of the United States Agency for International Development. He moved from the United States to the UAE in 2008, where he has been a part of the senior management team and in charge of turning the Al Ain Zoo into an international tourism destination. Attractions include a revamped zoo and wildlife safari. The destination is to employ about 1,000 employees and attract 3.6 million visitors by 2020.
All right. Well, Hossam, welcome to Eye on Careers.
Thanks, Shane. It's good to be here tonight.
So you are a fan of The Doors?
Yeah, I like their music.
You're an old school rocker at heart.
I am. You know, I try to tell this to my kids, you know.
I heard that actually animals respond to music. And I think even Prince Charles of England believes that even plants respond to music. You know, do you ever rock out with the animals in the zoo? Or?
I wish. That would have been easy. No, I only deal with humans at the zoo, you know, trying to get the best out of everyone.
So you said that would be easy. So given your choice between dealing with one of the lions and dealing with the plant, is that what you're insinuating, that you choose the lion? There's a hesitation there.
No, but, you know, us humans, you know, we're very complicated, and it's not that easy, you know, dealing with people and, you know, doing things you want to do. So it's
extremely complicated. You know, the one weird thing about humans you find is that when you tell them not to do something, then it makes them want to do it. So if you have someone reporting to you and then you say, listen, I want you to take my job, then they'll be like, no, I don't want your job. I don't want all the responsibility. But if you do the reverse and you say, you can't have this job, then they're going to be like, oh, I'm going to get this job from the guy. I don't know if you've noticed that.
That's for sure. That's for sure. Actually, I play golf. And one of the things that they teach you at the beginning is, you know, when you see a hazard, don't tell yourself that I don't want to hit the ball any hazard. Because that's the brain part, do not get the don't. So they just go for the hazard. I think we function this way. Our brains function this way. Yeah.
So a big part of it is visualization, you know, in terms of a success story, is keeping, you know, some people come on the show, they tell me they've created vision boards. I know, like, Uma Ghosh Deshpande, who runs Queen Bee Productions, and she had one of the longest running shows here in the UAE. Built herself up from basically, well, I don't want to say nothing, but she's self-made. She uses a vision board every morning, and so many of the other people. Is that something you would subscribe to?
Definitely.
Are you serious? You have a vision board?
I do not have a vision board, but I think it's definitely important for everyone to have a vision. You know, you need to lead an intentional life. You need to have a sense of direction. And, you know, you need to have a dream and pursue it.
And so when you're hiring people into positions, leadership positions, if they can't demonstrate a sense of vision and direction in their own life, how are they going to give it to a team of people?
That's very true. And this is something we look for, definitely, especially when trying to identify talent. You know, at that level, if you don't have the vision, if you cannot dream, if you're not a strategic thinker, I mean, that's a tough job.
One of my mentors always says, you know, the difference that separates us from the animals, you know, is imagination. Our ability to envision 2 years or 3 years down, to have a fantasy idea of what we could be or what we are. And then they go on to say is, you know, you can't be successful if you don't use your imagination. If you do not envision what you are not and what you will be and what you could be, then you can't make it. So you have to use that imagination. Is that true?
It is very true. I mean, if you're living day to day and you don't see what's in the future, or you don't dream about what's in the future, there isn't really anything for you to aspire for. And it's just, you know, taking it one day at a time doesn't usually take you anywhere.
It's so funny, and most people, you know, sometimes, you know, if you find they may be doing the reverse, they're imagining a negative. You wake up, oh, my boss is going to do this, and this person is going to do that, and oh, I'm not going to get my promotion, and you're actually envisioning, or you're having a vision, but it's just not a positive one.
Yeah, that's the worst thing that could happen to you. But
that's what exactly with your golf example, don't think of the hazard, right? Yeah. But that's what people are doing, you know, yeah, when they wake up, right?
I think it comes with experience. I think being positive is a blessing. It's very important being positive. You know, you wake up every day, you know there are a lot of challenges, but you have to hope for the best to happen. And it comes with falling down and getting up and falling down and getting up and understanding that life comes in, you know, in ups and downs. And if you're down today, you know, tomorrow you'll be up and so on.
This is Hossam Hamad, head of talent management at the Al Ain Zoo. We're going to be looking at what it takes to get control of these animals out there and what it takes to be successful in your career. He's I think has a staff of over 650 people. We'll be right back. Hello and welcome back to Eye on Careers. I'm your host, Shane Phillips. And we are hearing the story of a man who works literally with a bunch of animals. It's very challenging for him. His name is Hossam Hamad. He is the head of talent management at the Al Ain Zoo. Hossam, welcome back to Eye on Careers.
Thanks, Jane.
So, you know, we were just chatting a little bit about the importance of having a vision and whether you know it or not, you're creating a vision. Imagination comes standard in the human mind. Mm-hmm. And so when you wake up, you're imagining whatever it is, yourself 2, 3, 4, 5 years. Unfortunately, many of us are imagining a negative image. And you were talking about how important it is to control your mind and making sure that you're instilling a positive image there.
Yeah, very true. I mean, life will throw a lot at you, and unless you're positive, I know you can get up and you know you have the confidence, you won't be able to make it through that life.
So tell us a little bit, you know, how did you go? Because I believe you started out as a chemical engineer or in university, that's what you took. Can you tell us quickly just your journey into the leadership realm?
Yeah, I studied chemical engineering in the U.S., New Jersey, which is the capital of the pharmaceutical industry. I graduated, started working for the pharmaceutical industry, very, very innovative technology that we had from MIT in terms of drug manufacturing. Was working with a lot of MIT graduates, and part of my job was technical training. And this is how I actually got into human capital development. I was doing a lot of technical training to MIT graduates. These guys were geniuses. These are the smartest people I've ever seen in my life. No personal skill whatsoever. I mean, you put them in a lab, you ask them to do, to work on a problem, and they come up with the best solutions. But you ask them to deal with people and to work with a team, it was practically a nightmare. And this is, you know, the
they're annoyed. I find people, if their IQ is really high, they get annoyed more easily. Is that true?
They do. They do. And they want to be left alone. They want to do what they do best. They don't want to greet people in the hallways. They don't want to say good morning. They don't want to work with the team. They don't want to do this. You know, they're not trained to do a lot of these things. They just want to be left alone to do what they do best. And, you know, that's not the case when you work for an organization. I mean, personal skills is a big part of it. And actually, one of the guys got fired, and I never thought that an MIT graduate could ever get fired. And this is when the ball basically turned on for me. You know, there is something, there's soft skills. You know, I need to work with these guys on the personal skills, not just the technical skills. And I started to read. I started to train them. I started to see a difference. Believe it or not, soon enough, I was getting a lot more satisfaction from working with people than working with production lines and technologies. I thought it was far more rewarding. You could see the difference. You're changing people's lives to the best. And I fell for it. I said, I'd rather do this. You know, it was far more interesting to me than engineering stuff.
And so then at that particular company, you moved into HR.
I started doing a lot of technical and a lot of behavioral and soft skills. At some point, I realized that, you know, with my engineering qualification, I would need something additional. So I went for my MBA degree. From there, got an opportunity to work for international development. U.S., the United States Agency for International Development. You know, there was an opportunity there. So it was human capital development, but on a much larger scale, on a country level. You know, you go and you help developing countries build capacities and develop people and stuff. So I thought that was an excellent opportunity. I got to go back home a lot and help a lot with this kind of development. So I moved on from engineering to international development with USAID. About in 2008, it was time to go back home, and then the wife and myself, we decided, you know, there was so much hype about Dubai back at that time in the States. So we decided to come to Dubai and see how things are going. Started working for the zoo, and I loved it. Been there ever since, basically.
What year did you join the zoo?
In 2008.
Okay, and so a lot of people are thinking about doing their MBA. I know you mentioned that. Do you think it was worth it? And what would your advice be to someone who's thinking about redoing their MBA at this point?
I think it is definitely worth it. Coming from a technical field, when I first started my MBA classes, I was hearing stuff about organizational behavior and theory X and theory Y. I was like, what is this? What is these guys talking about? I mean, this is all academic stuff. This doesn't happen in the workplace. But then soon enough, I realized that everything that happened in the organization is basically what you read about and study in the MBA. And it helped me understand why people behave the way they do and how to make a difference in an organization. It was the major stepping stone for me from the technical field to management to human resources and learning and development, definitely.
So but I think isn't one of the greatest things you get is not the knowledge, but the network, the alumni group?
Yeah, this is true. I have to say there are a lot of online education, MBA degrees that you do online. And the relationships that you create in classroom, the discussions, the networks, that you develop into the classroom, I think that's the part, of the biggest value you get from an MBA degree. And that stays with you for life. You're the people that you went to class with for an MBA, it becomes big part of your network. And they go all over the world and they become directors and managers and CEOs. And that's a big part of your network. So, yeah, networking is a big part of it.
So now you are responsible for the leadership function in the zoo with over 650 people. I mean, what do you look for when you're identifying leaders and in actually your top performing leaders? What are the key traits?
Talent, identifying talent, usually you look at a couple of things. You look at performance and you look at potential. Performance is the easy part. The potential is basically you're looking into a crystal ball. You're trying to predict someone, abilities and what they can do in the future based on what you see right now. This has been I think it's still a big puzzle for everyone that's in the field. There is no good way to measure potential. It's all subjective. It's all, this guy has potential. It's a lot of gut feeling and intuition rather than something you can measure. I'm a fan of Jack Welch school of thought about...
No. Wait, you fire 25% of your staff every year?
No, I was talking about his definition for of leadership.
That's what he's famous for. He's a hammer and everything, and any problem in business is a nail, right?
To be honest, I think he was one of the best inspirational leaders in the modern era. If you think about his leadership style and what he did to GE, it definitely worked and make GE one of the best companies right now. And it does work big time. And he was a true leader. For me, he was a true leader. He was a natural as well. Yeah.
So, okay, so but you don't agree with him firing 25% of the people, or do you feel like maybe that's one of the challenges in the Middle East, that we just don't fire people enough?
No, you see, the challenge I really see that it's not that we don't fire enough. I think we fire enough, but we don't use it.
What do you mean we don't use it? What do you mean?
It's okay to let someone go, someone who's not performing, someone who doesn't live the values. It's okay to let them go. But when they go, you need to make a point. You need to go out to the entire place and tell them, that person had to be let go because they did not share the values, they did not do this, they did not do that. The worst thing you could do is to just fire people, and then it's all about rumors, and then everybody's scared, because they think you're doing it ad hocly, basically.
So a sense of justice needs to reign.
Yeah, it's a strong message, It's a strong message. Every organization needs to perform. Like Jack Welch says, are you playing or are you playing to win? And most of the companies out there, they play to win. And you need to use everything possible, even when you fire people, as bad as it is. You need to use it in a positive sense.
So I cut you off. So you were saying a part of Jack Welch's theory, which you subscribe to.
Yeah, he's talking about the E's and the P's. When people ask him whether leaders are born or made, and he said, some of the traits, you are born with, the enthusiasm, the energy, the ability to energize others, these are things that you need to be born with. But then there are things that, you could be trained to be. So You know, these are the type of things I look for, you know, the energy level. You know, are you the kind of person who can walk around and motivate people? Are you, you know, visionary? Do you, you know, can you motivate people? Are you into... I worked with a guy. He really made a difference in my life. He was a true leader. And he was like a Hollywood director, basically. He was in the star making, you know.
Your mentor was a Hollywood director?
No, he was not, but he was... You know, he was about making stars. You know, I worked with this guy for 2 years. Long nights, long evenings, no weekends, from one big challenge to another. Hossam, go ahead, work on this project. And I work on it, and it's a lot of problems, a lot of issues. 6 months later, everything's fine. I go to him, okay, boss, all is done. You know, it's time to relax. And he say, okay, good. Now, on to the next challenge. And then he kept moving me from one challenge to another. For 2 years, I just hated his guts. But by the time I was done, I couldn't hardly recognize myself. The things I was able to do that I never thought I could do, you know? So, and I think this is an important trait for leaders, developing others, stretching them, raising the bar, you know, and pushing them to get the best out of them. This is a true leader, you know? It's not sitting in the corner office and calling the shots, you know?
So you said he created stars. How do you create stars? What are some of the what's the roadmap on the star creation path?
As I mentioned, you know, there is, you know, when you create, when I do talent management, I always look for people's strength. And this is a fundamental difference between talent management and learning and development. Learning and development, you go and you find weaknesses and you try to improve on it. In talent management, you look for strength because this is what make you special after all. This is what you're talented at. So you look at people's strength and you take it further and you push your people further, you know, and you stretch them. It's getting people out of their comfort zone and getting them to realize that they could do things that they never dreamed of. This is a big part of making stars, you know, it's stretching them, getting...
Do you feel that people shouldn't focus, you know, on your weaknesses? Should you focus on your strengths? But don't answer that. Answer that right after a short break. An insight, you know, maybe perhaps your career strategy is off. You're taking a course. You're focusing on closing gaps, focusing on your weaknesses. Maybe you should be focusing on your strengths. Mm. Hossam is going to shed some light on this topic in just a minute. Hello and welcome back to Eye on Careers. We are looking at what it takes to rise to the top, to become a leader in your profession. But we also have with us Hossam Hamad, Head of Talent Management at the Alain Zoo. Hossam, welcome to Eye on Careers.
Thanks, Jay.
It's a pleasure to have you here. I don't know if you know who that was. Bashir. Oh, we have one person says it's Bashir Al-Tawil. Mm. No, but that was close.
Oh.
But it's not.
Okay.
So do you know who it is?
I'm not sure, no.
Nobody does, no. But I do, but okay, I'm not going to say who it is. But I really love the quote, you know, that the power of imagination, you know, you always underestimate the power of your imagination. And I almost think reality is immaterial. It's really what are people thinking? And that's what you deal with in your job. You know, how do you get people to think about the organization different? How do you get people to think that they are an owner in the business? How do you get people to think about their job in a more engaged way, I guess? Is that part of your job?
Big time. Engagement is on every organization's big challenges. You know, it's you know, once you get your staff engaged, you're set to go. But before we get into engagement, motivation, a lot of us, they wait for the motivation to come to them from the outside. And I'd love to tell people, please don't. The best motivation should come from inside. You know, if you wait for it to come from outside and might never come, then what do? You know, when you get out of bed every day, you know, we spend so much time at work every day. You know, good 10 hours, you know, at work. If you're not motivated, if you're not engaged, it's such a waste of time and it's such a waste of life. So when you get up in the morning, you need to go out there. You need to be motivated. You need to say, I'm going to go and make the best out of this day. I'm going to make the most out of it because it's my life and I'm not going to let it go to waste.
Yeah, but sometimes you get so charged up. You're over the weekend, you know, you're pumped up and we're going to do this, we're going to do that. Or maybe it's the Ramadan break or it's Christmas break, depending on whatever you're into. And, you know, you come back, you come into work, and then that first meeting, your manager just kills that motivation right off, right? And I was talking to one person, one CEO said, you know, is the job of a leader to motivate his people? He said, your job, you know, generally people are motivated. Your job as a leader is don't demotivate them.
that's very true. The truth of the matter, Shane, there is no such a thing as a perfect organization. I mean, unless probably you work for Google or you work in Silicon Valley somewhere. We all work in organizations.
What, all the companies in Silicon Valley are perfect?
I mean, they have,
oh my God,
people are enjoying themselves at least, you know, they're doing what they like to do and they're very creative and it's a different environment. But for the rest of us, we have to work in, you know, traditional companies, you know, and then every organization has its pros and cons. There is no such a thing as a perfect company. And you need to count your blessings every day. When you go into a company, you know, don't be like, you know, this place is terrible, I can't wait to get to my next job. Because you know what? You'll be surprised when you get to the next job that, you know, yes, there are a lot of positives, but there will be some negatives as well. So make the most of the current job you have. You know, don't get demotivated easily. You know, there will be a lot of challenges, you know, but make the most of the job. Think about one thing. When you go to the next job, do you want to sit in that interview and you want to say that, you know, the past 2 years of my life were just a waste of time and I learned nothing. It was a terrible place.
Has anyone ever said that to you in an interview?
A lot of people, they do show up with, you know, they have those voids in their CVs and they don't want to talk about it. You know, they say, oh, it was a terrible experience. So what do you mean it was a terrible experience? You haven't learned anything? I mean, that's the whole essence of life, basically. You know, you go through experiences and you learn and you make the most of out of what you have.
Don't you think, though, as part of society, we have a habit of blaming the victim? And you know, for that poor guy who's working under some tyrannical, psychotic manager who's just making his life hell or her life hell, and the person doesn't get any results, and then they quit. And then they're like, well, look, he quit his job after a year and a half. And it's like, well, he was working for a psycho. It's not his fault.
Yeah.
You know? You know, but yeah, right away, they're like, no, look, there's something wrong with him. He quit or he was fired. You know, and then when you look at really successful people, there is no one that you can really, that I've come across, who has achieved greatness without knowing failure.
That's very true. That is very true. You know, and I can relate to that big time. You know, you have to really, I think experience, there is no substitute for experience. And experience comes from failure than from successes. You know, right now, I could tell you, we're doing a lot from a development perspective. We're trying to fast-track development. We're trying to get people to become managers way too quickly. And we think that, you know, by coaching and getting people through different development and learning experiences, we can fast-track that. You know, but you know what? A good manager is all about experiences. It's about been there, done that. You know, I tried this, it didn't work, and I tried this, it worked. And there is no shortcut to experiences. And you know, and this is where successes and failures come into play. You know, people need to see it that way. This is what makes you an experienced person, and this is what makes you a better person.
So in effect, what you're saying is that if you are in a role and you're working under a tyrannical, psychotic manager, that you should thank God because this is the beginning of your success. This is your opportunity to scrape your knees and feel failure, the stepping stone to your victorious triumph.
No, but you should see it as a challenge and you should find a way to deal with it. You could say, okay, it's a matter of time before I get out of here. But meanwhile, you know, I'm going to learn something from this experience. You know, I'm going to try different things. Maybe it'll work. So it's just see it as an opportunity for you to learn something new, you know. Maybe when you go to the next interview and you said, you know, I could deal with crazy people. I could deal with those tyrannic, you know, type of managers. So look at it as an opportunity rather than, you know, being miserable and feeling as a victim.
When you're in an organization, you know, don't you think that we're putting all this emphasis on training and development and these skills and this and that, and we have lost sight of the values of that profession, of what that job does in society? Should we not start there? When you went back in the 17th century or the 16th century, the blacksmith said, you know, this is my role in the community. This is my role in society. The soldier said, this is my role in society. The lawmaker said, this is my role in society. And today, they're more interested in, this is my status in society. This is what I get. These are my skills. Do you not think that the corporations of the world today have lost sight of their values? Hussam Hamad, head of talent management at Alain Zoo, will answer that in just a minute. Hello and welcome back to Eye on Careers. I'm your host, Shane Phillips, and we are speaking with Hussam Hamad, the head of talent management at the Alain Zoo. And we were looking at the power of having a vision, the importance of having a sense of direction in your life, and the role imagination plays in your job. We're also having a contest, the billion dollar moment, the billion dollar man, advice from a self-made billionaire. So simply, if you want to be successful, taking advice from someone who has made billions of dollars from nothing is always a good starting point. Hussam, welcome back to Eye on Careers.
Thanks, Jane.
It's a pleasure to have you here, and you are an effect responsible for your company's greatest asset, its leadership.
Yes, people. That's everybody says, you know. Our people are our most valuable assets. But
then they list them as liabilities on the balance sheet. It's a lie.
They hardly act like it. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
They hardly act like it. Say one thing, they do another, right? That's human psychology.
Yeah, it's a cliche now, but not a lot of companies really mean it.
Right, right. But so you're changing that. You're the spearhead of this change?
To be honest, yes. For me, you know, when we think about our competitive advantage as an organization, I keep hammering the fact that it's our people. Our people will be able to shape guest experiences, and that makes them our really most valuable asset. It's not the world-class safari we're building. It's not that amazing desert learning center that we already built. It's none of those. It's our people who will be able to make those memorable experiences for our guests and make them come back and come back. So it is people, you know. It is your most valuable asset, you know, and they're out there. You need to invest in them and get them, you know, do what they do best.
Well, nobody comes on our show without answering the famous question, secrets to success. But before we do that, just before the break, we were asking, you know, what's the fundamental ethos of leadership? And the question was, don't you think it comes down to values? You know, Henry Ford becomes the leader of the automotive movement. There was hundreds of small automotive companies in the United States in the early 1900s. But he rises up because he values the role of the automobile plays in society, its ability to connect people, to run businesses, to create communities. You know, you look at this sense of value and you think, have companies lost it? You know, have we actually lost the sense of the value we create and the value our profession holds in society?
To a great extent, yes. It's a very competitive world out there. And everybody, again, is playing to win. And in the process, you know, values gets dropped somewhere along the way, you know, because, you know, it's kind of tying people down and not allowing them to do, you know, what they want to do. I have to say, though, that for local companies, for Emirati companies, there is a great sense of patriotism. There is, you know, what could you do for your country rather than what could your country do for you? And this puts a great emphasis on, you know, okay, living the dream. You know, Sheikh Zayed, you know, started something. Everybody wants to follow suit. Everybody wants to complete what he started. And this is, you know, you find a lot of these values in the local government entities, you know.
That they're moving this forward, the amazing vision,
yes,
and the strength. Now, and you know, the value he had was unbelievable. That it actually cascades for generations beyond his reach.
It's very true. I mean, if I want to inspire a group of young Emiratis who probably were not born yet, you know, when he lived. You just mentioned Sheikh Zayed and you mentioned his legacy, and they would be in tears. You know, they said, oh, that was our greatest leader. And then they would be like, you know, like they go crazy. They get so motivated and so inspired. It's amazing. I've never seen a leader, you know, have such an impact on people as much as Sheikh Zayed is having on Emiratis.
Well, nobody comes on our show without answering the famous question, what is your secret to success? And
Ion Careers now reveals the secrets to success.
So, Hossam, what is your secret to success?
Lead an intentional life, have a sense of direction, be very persistent, and make sure the motivation comes from within.
Ion Careers.
In association with LeMoon.com, jobs, courses, and all things career.
I think you said tenacity in there, did you?
Yeah, persistence, basically.
Persistence.
Never giving
oh, yeah.
up, yes.
Yeah, I think that's a great one. Somebody, we have a few more guesses on who the billionaire is. Is it the dude? I don't think so. Isn't the dude? Was it Steve Jobs? No, it was not. Neither of those. We have people just swinging at air, a few air balls there. But keep swinging, because your next punch could be a knockout. Now, you know, when you look at persistence, I think you really pushed yourself early on. I mean, you had to work while you were going to school. Did you feel like quitting then?
No, never did. Never did. I knew that, you know, I needed to get my degree to have a better life, to go back home and be able to marry my high school sweetheart. I had my vision in front of me all the time, and I knew it was well worth it. It was very difficult, you know, having to work full-time and study chemical engineering full-time. It was very, very challenging, but I never thought about giving up.
Have you ever been in a situation so tough you felt like quitting?
I hate to tell you, but, you know, because I've been through many ups and downs early on in my life, I think I got much tenacity now. So quitting is not part of my dictionary anymore, because I know no matter how hard nowadays could be, I know the good days are coming. So I keep going because I know it will get better.
So you keep pushing yourself. So that persistence, that's really key. I think. Do you think that people who don't make it, they give up early?
You'd be surprised.
I think in school you didn't have enough money and you had to take a year off, didn't you?
I did. I ran out of money. I couldn't pay for my tuition anymore.
You were broke as a joke, and you had to stop.
Exactly.
Most people would have quit right there.
No, I could not. You know, because I didn't want to wait tables and. You know, work in the library or the college restaurants for the last of my life. I wanted to be an engineer. I wanted a good life for me, for my family to be, and for my, you know, kids. So quitting was not an option.
So many people, I think, when, you know, things aren't going well for them and they can't afford their next semester of tuition, and they quit. Rather, you know, you just go slow, take a couple courses at a time, keep moving, keep trundling along. As long as you keep moving the ball down the field, you eventually get to that promised land.
Yeah, definitely. That's another way of doing it, you know, slow down a little bit. I think we need to understand that we have to be flexible. Life will throw a lot of punches at us, and we have to take them, we have to absorb them, and we have to get back at life, you know, get back up and go for it. You know, it's like a boxing match, you know. Life will throw a lot of punches at you. You need to take it. You need to take it as a man. You need to get up and...
Yeah. You need to man up.
Exactly.
Man up. Take that shot in the face.
Yeah.
Suck it up.
Yeah, that's how I see it, basically. You win some rounds, you lose some rounds, but that's life.
And what's your final piece of advice to anybody out there who's trying to move up in this world?
Life is a good thing. Enjoy it. Make the most out of it. Never let a moment be wasted, because it's not coming back. So make the most of it, have fun, and the good days are coming, so regardless.
The good days are coming, the economy is doing great, it's awesome, you know? And
yes.
You know, you were bigging up Silicon Valley earlier. You know, I would want to be anywhere else but here in Dubai in the Middle East right now, especially with what's going on in the world. California's bankrupt, I can't believe you. You went for that.
No, I was just talking about the kind of companies that exist out there, but I totally agree with you. I think... being in Dubai, in Abu Dhabi, I think it's the best place to be in the world right now from so many different angles.
That's right. That's right. Well, and, you know, but, you know, to your point, Silicon, you know, Hewlett Packard, all these companies, they started in garages.
Yes.
And, you know, a lot of houses, they don't have garages in Dubai. So I don't know if that's a concern area for us.
No.
They just have this kind of like tent thing that goes over. I'm like, yeah, we're not breeding entrepreneurialism.
Basements.
With that.
There are a lot of basements in homes in Abu Dhabi, in Dubai. So they should do it as well.
That should do it. Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Hossam, for coming out. It was great listening to your story and the power of imagination, of focus, of keeping that direction. And sometimes, you know, you don't make it at the same speed as someone else. You have to move at your own pace. You take a 4 years to do a 3-year degree, a 5 years to do even a 3-year degree. You just keep moving forward. And we'll have to come out and see you at the Alain Zoo.
Please do. We'd be glad to have you. We'd be glad to show you the project in the making. It was a pleasure being here tonight. So thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. So hopefully we can have you on again sometime soon. That was Hossam Hamad, the head of talent management at the Al Ain Zoo. Coming up, we have a self-made multi-millionaire, Kabir Ali, group managing director of Qualitrend Group. He's not going to be here to talk about his successes. He's going to be talking about his failures. We're going to listen to how this guy fell down, face planted in the ground, lost money time and time again, only to rise up like a phoenix from the ashes and finally make it. And he's definitely hitting stride now. So this is one interview you don't want to miss.